Sunday. This is the kind of Saints game I would watch. A good running game and a good defense behind the Dome Patrol.
Reminds me of the time Reuben Mays used to run.
We got a couple of Bayou Bullets in the chamber. Devil's on the loose. They'll run through the jungle. They'll run through the jungle.
They'll run through the jungle. Oh, don't lose faith. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Drone Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating, I gotta say, like, a minimum 3, if I'm lying to myself. It's probably more like a 4, bordering on the 5 by the end of the show, because this is really exciting. Feels like it's 2009 again. I feel so young. Anyway, the Saints-Bills game was one of those where we all went in saying if we could get out of the game with any kind of win, we'd know that we're good enough to make it into and maybe even deep into the playoffs. But when you come out of the game the way the Saints did, you realize that we're not just a legitimate team who's worthy of respect. We realize we're actually a legitimate contender for the championship. The Saints are clearly in the upper echelon of teams this season, if not on top of the upper echelon, with the keys to success being the defense and the running game. Those are just 2 points we'll discuss on this week's episode, which is actually being recorded immediately following the game because we're too fucking excited to wait till tomorrow night. So seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a 2.
That's it?
Yeah, I didn't go overboard during the game. It was just a steady stream of, you know, alcohol, just laying on the couch, enjoying the game, slow sipping.
You drank last night?
Yeah, I did. I went to the Pelicans game. Yeah, I had a few drinks before. I had a couple of drinks there.
All right. Damon, welcome to the game. How you feeling?
Feeling fine, Jeff.
You've been so quiet. Did we wake you up to do this?
Nope.
You've been drinking during the game?
Nope.
You upset about the way that we treated the Bills?
Nope. Thank you.
He's so quiet today. I didn't like him. Anyway, all right, and we got a special returning guest on the show. You heard him a couple of weeks ago. He's back again today. Scott, welcome to the show, here to challenge Jason in his Pick'em's rivalry.
Yes. Thank you for having me on again. Didn't get to be on with Damon last time, so it's an honor to be on with him today. And great game today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's an honor.
But do you have a number?
No, not a drunk number. I'm high on the Saints. That's what I'm high on right now.
You know what?
I'm drunk on the Saints.
Well, you know what? Then leave. Come back when you have a number. Get the fuck out of here.
I had a rough night last night. Probably a little too much last night. So, all right. Taking it easy today.
All right. Anyway, let's jump into the game recap. FBIO.
The ghost bird in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry.
Where the Saints handled the Bills' business.
Pretty stunning. I mean, first drive, you know, we won the toss to Fur. They got the ball, marched down the field, had a couple of big plays, had a long McCoy run, had a long, good quarterback draw, design play from Taylor. They got down, but we held them to a field goal, and that was massive. And then just after that, it was on.
Yeah, McCoy's run to that first drive was 36 yards. He finished the game with 49. So that kind of tells you how their offense did after that one drive.
Yeah, and they had a couple attempts to gunge Benjamin, missed them, and we held them. And it's kind of what we've done a few times this season. You know, that first drive, they've driven down the field, but went able to lock in and hold them to a field goal. And then just enforcing our will. Was this the first game that we've had all 5 starting line? If you count, you know, like...
Right, not to be frightened.
Without Streep or Ramsek, but this is the 5, and dude, they played a monster. I mean, them and the running backs combined played such a monster.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. We had, 300 rushing yards?
At least.
Yeah, 300, you know. I mean, Drew Brees only had 185 yards.
Right. Well, it's two, officially, I mean, so look, far, look, as of right now, 298 rushing yards, Damon. So.
Because Chase Daniels, they took 2 yards off because of the two victory plays.
Right.
But look, this is more Jim Mora than Sean Payton.
What?
185 passing yards, no passing TDs. You know, all run the ball. I mean, you know, all defense. I mean, this is a Jim Mora team here.
Well, let's just knock this little stat out of the way. This is what is the game of the most rushing touchdowns by a Saints team in a single game. Is it ever?
Yeah, yeah. Six.
Yeah, because
yes, we tied the record 45
from 1979.
Yeah. We scored 47 points, and Drew Brees doesn't have a touchdown pass.
And under 200 yards.
Passing.
Right.
You know, even like the first drive the Saints had, just dominating, just running up the middle. Just Ingram gashing them. Because, you know, Kamara really didn't do much, you know, early in the game.
Talk about the second half.
It was mostly Ingram in the first half.
Let's get the negative out of the way. And there's only one really negative. It was the difference between the first drive and the second drive.
The fumble? Or the play call.
Just the fact that, like, all right, you're literally running, like, 10 yards per carry. Yeah. And you get a touchdown. You get first drive is perfection, all run. So what do you do when you come out with the second drive? Let's start throwing the ball. Three straight throws, first down, second down, third down. Not to mention all three throws are behind the line of scrimmage. And I might be getting that wrong, but somewhere in that drive,
you probably are. But
you know what I'm talking about.
But I know you're part. I mean, we all kind of got a little frustrated
running
that second drive. Yeah, yeah. When it kind of felt like we got a little too fancy there.
Yeah,
a little too fancy. Got gifted, you know, a couple of penalties, gave us some first downs, right. And even on the play call with the fumble, it's like, I mean, he was fighting just to get back to the line of scrimmage. Like, it was a terrible play call to begin with, and he fucking fumbled. You're just like, come on, man. Because, I mean, that's at least 3 points we lost there.
Well,
oh, goodness, yeah.
And, again, it's not like there's a ton of negative to talk about this game. Because it was dominated. No. But at that point in the game, it was still close, dominating. But, and you can't turn the ball over like that in the red zone.
Right. And, I mean, we talked about that last week. We said the keys to the game, you know, no mistakes, no turnovers. And beside that little span on the second drive, that was it. We played clean everything else, you know, for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they went up 3-0. We scored 47 straight.
Yeah, it was good to see the run game get going, too, especially, you know, as you go along the year and you're looking to possibly make the playoffs, you know, you might have to go to Philly to play a game. And, you know, Philly in December, you know, is not going to be weather-wise probably conducive to a pass game. So if we can run like that, you know, that shows you something really big right there.
That's how you beat Philly in the January.
Well, again, I mean, it's an old, you know, the old adage. I mean, defense wins championships. I mean, and
good for us.
Even that 0-9 defense. Again, how that Vikings game, the Colts game, you know, I mean, it was the defense that pushed you over the top, and this is a legitimate. This is a real defense. This isn't an opportunistic defense. This isn't a bend-don't-break defense. This is I'm going to beat you over the head with a fucking baseball bat defense.
It's kind of like what Damon just said. You know, the 0-9 defense lived or died by the turnovers, whereas this defense gets turnovers but also is shutting teams down. They're stopping people from scoring. You know, getting three and outs. You know, like Damon said, McCoy, 49 rushing yards. I mean, that's one of the best running backs in the NFL, you know, and we're holding the 49 yards. I mean, shit, Trey Edmonds, our, what, four-string running back, got 48 yards, so he got 1 yard less. That shows you how much we dominated this game, both offensively running the ball and defensively stopping the run. And I had texted Jeff earlier, and I said, look, whatever defense stops the run this game is going to win. And we did, and we did.
I mean, it was a lot cooler when we did.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing, at 47-10, the game wasn't even that close.
We went into this game. This was a test game. This was a game to test if we were who we thought we were. And coming out of it, it looks like how the fuck could this have been a test game? What a joke.
What we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were.
Where's the
I mean, like everything else, I'm sure it lies somewhere in between. But the good thing is we went on the road in, you know, the relative cold, outside stadium, hostile environment.
They hadn't lost over there.
Right, they hadn't lost at home. And we didn't just beat them. We dominated them.
Right.
We made them our bitch.
Well, you made the point this game wasn't close. It wasn't close since I didn't feel like it was close till after, like, since our second drive. Even
it
though
that fumble,
right? I mean, like, we got the touchdown. It was what, 7-3, and then it was even before it was 14-3. But 14-3 for sure is at the point where I'm like, there's no way we're losing this game. Like, that was the level of confidence I had. Maybe right. I'm all in. I'm faith is at 100% on this team in this season. I'm in, guys. I am in. I am setting myself up for complete and utter devastation if it doesn't work out.
I'm buying my tickets to Minnesota next week.
That's fun.
Well, look, I said it last week. We are a true contender in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. There's no other team that I would feel, you know, like I said, did the Philly scare you? You know,
they scare me for the fact that right, like we could play Philly one week and win, we play them next week and lose, play them one week and win, play them next week. That's the element that scares you, right?
But they're a good team.
That's the way the game's played.
Or we could beat them one week and then we could, you know, lose the next week, or we could be, you know,
Do I want them home? Yeah, I'd rather them home.
I want home field advantage.
That's what we're, to me, that's the conversation we're having right now. My point, anybody who's out there waiting to say, like, I don't know yet if I want to, like, go there.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah,
why,
no.
Why are you a fan?
10.
Why are you watching football?
It's week 10 of the NFL, okay? The season's, you know, three quarters over. And we are
7-2. So let's say we go undefeated, and let's say we get the Super Bowl. What's the record there? 17?
17, right. Yeah.
Which is a better record than the 09 record. So, you know what, would you rather go 13-0, lose the last three, and win the Super Bowl? Or would you rather lose the first two, go undefeated, and win the Super Bowl?
Right.
It doesn't matter. We won
at
the Super
end,
Bowl.
You won the Super Bowl.
Right. I don't care if you go 11-5. Yeah, you know.
Right. I don't care if we go 10-6 and win the Super Bowl. Right. It doesn't matter.
No. But it's so hard to compare any team to the 2009 team, because that team was just so special for so many ways. You know, we won 13 straight. It was our first taste of
it. Was your first, that's your point, it was, you popped your
right, you know, but it being just really a dominant team in the NFL, you know. I know we had the Dome Patrol and we were
I feel like 2006 was a dominant team.
I don't know if we were good. We weren't dominant
with the Dome Patrol.
No,
06 was a really good team, but it wasn't.
Right. It was a 10-6 team. Right. I wouldn't call that dominant.
We were 10-6.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, we were optimistic, and we thought our team was good. It wasn't like the 09 team. We just knew, like, holy fuck, we are really good.
Right. In 06, we just came off of a 3-13 season in Katrina, and we didn't expect anything from the team. We were just happy that they were in the Superdome. You know, and then when they won 10 games and won a playoff game, So it's so hard to compare to 2009, this team, but this is a damn, I mean, let me say it this way. I feel this is the most well-rounded team we've ever had. Would you say that? Would you say that's a
yes? Yes, I would definitely agree with you there.
We have a good defense, and we saw the stat during the game where I think we're ranked 15th, but when you take those first two games out of it, we're the number one defense in the NFL over the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
That said, you know, we were, you know, I don't know what happened week 1 and 2. I don't know. We need to sit down about how we, you know, we gave up 1,000.
Oh, I'll tell you what happened. The defense in weeks 1 and 2
didn't play well. Jeff is going to stay. Go ahead, Mr. Obvious. What are you going to say?
The defense was, but why? They were riding the success of the preseason. They got too far. We talked about that. They got too, and they admitted that they got too far ahead of themselves, thinking that they didn't have to put in the effort, that they were that good. And once week 2 hit, and they started realizing, no, we actually have to watch film. We actually have to commit. We actually have to try every week. The other side of it is that, to your point, Damon, about the whole preseason and when the offensive starters don't play, but one or two drives in the entire fucking preseason, then guess what? Weeks one and two is their preseason. So it took them 2 weeks to catch up with, to get in a rhythm that's going to actually, whatever. So the Saints, yeah, we sacrificed the first two games. Maybe that was Sean Payton's strategy. I'm going to go conspiracy on your ass and say it was.
Jeff says the most asinine things I've ever heard.
Yes.
I mean, hey. Jeff, do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Do you believe 9/11 was an inside job?
No. What else you got?
You believe the moon landing was faked?
I think it was real, but, you know.
He hesitates.
I'm about 60-40 on that one, really.
I mean, just Sean Payton. Yeah. Look, I don't know what happened.
Sean Payton sold out the first two games for
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
The only thing. Hold on. No. I'm sorry. You won seven straight the way you're winning right now. It's the only thing that makes sense. Tell me something that doesn't make, that makes better sense than that. What about the offense?
The running game. I mean, I don't know. This is the first time that we had this, our offensive line starting all year. And oh my goodness, look how dominant we were on the ground.
Yeah, they look so dominant today.
You know,
really did. You know, we had Warford back today, which
was nice. Again, I just hope that if we need to turn it on, the passing game. You know, because eventually someone's going to say, well, you ain't running on us. Drew Brees has to beat us, and that's going to be a stupid mistake, you know.
I'll take that every day.
Yeah, you know.
Right. But, you know. I mean, again, like, we didn't pass today because we didn't need to. I mean,
we didn't need to pass.
I mean, when we did, I mean, Mike Thomas had a monster game today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a great game.
We were able
game.
To find him well, today, but, and we threw when we needed to. But when the game was out of hand, I mean, look, that one, we went 90, whatever,
Six,
that
94,
94, 94 yards.
Yeah.
All rushes.
Y'all remember when Drew Brees was throwing 40 and 50 passes a game?
Right.
He threw 25 today. How many rush attempts do we have?
A lot.
I mean, 48 rush attempts, 298 yards.
40. I mean, it's flipped. It's reversed. Right. And look, and the scoreboard shows that it could work if we do that when you need to. It's what you do. When you play with. We have an offense that can play whatever the defense wants to make us play.
We were also playing well, but Buffalo just fucking quit, man. I mean, just
wouldn't you?
I mean, even
I don't
we're,
know.
We're
I mean,
running. I mean, look, we're running fullback dives and we're getting 9 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they quit on that drive, but after that drive, when a team did nothing but rush the ball for 94 yards, you go, okay, we're not going to win this game.
Especially you know? When they knew we were going to run the ball,
right.
I want to bring up one thing. I'm going to bring us down a little bit and talk about Daniel Lasco and his injury. All I've heard, so again, we'll repeat there for those of you who are listening maybe later in the week and more news has come out since then. All we know is that it was a spine injury. He's got feeling in the extremities, in his extremities.
Right, and Peyton said in his post-game conference, all signs are looking good for him. So that's good. I mean, it was a scary hit. When he was laying there, I was just like, ooh.
They didn't even show the hit on replay.
It looked like he was going in to make the tackle, and it looked like his neck hit funny.
Did his neck hit the thigh of the returner?
Somewhere he said, I don't know. If it was, I don't even know if it was a returner or maybe one of the blockers downfield or don't you know? Because it was kind of you know they were a pile of them together, and he was running in, and he was low, and his neck hit somebody, and it looked like it went to the you know it did look bad on replay.
To lighten a little bit. And Jeff and I were talking about this earlier. When the ambulance was on the field, there was another midget spotting on the field.
That's right.
Sighting on the field.
For those of you who have been listening all season, you know that Scott here is our midget identifier. And you, what was the one guy you mentioned in the first time you
were on the show? The Titans have one and the Bills have one.
And, well, we know now the Bills have one.
Right. That's so,
cool. What do they call them? What do you call it? The midget's an offensive term these days.
Dwarfs?
Oh.
Little people.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't that sound more insulting than a midget?
I think a little person.
I wouldn't want to call me a little person, you know. But I'd like her. I wish we had our own midget.
I wish we did too.
Well, that's what we were thinking. Is how many teams have? I mean, is it a part of maybe NFL hiring policy where
diversity?
Is there like a mini me rule?
I think it's called the Oompa Loompa rule.
Oh my god.
I have to cut this, right?
How many little people do we have listening that would get offended and not listen? If they stuck with it this long, you know?
If South Park can get away with it, we can. Either way. Yeah, it's funny. Like, as they're loading the guy into the ambulance, I'm like, is that a midget right there on the... I'm like, holy shit, it is. And then my immediate thought was, wasn't that the guy that Scott was talking about on the last show? And there's like, no, he was talking about Tennessee. Oh my God, there's more than one. We have every name. Lollipop Jim. Lollipop Jim. Lollipop Jim. And in the name of the Lollipop, we wish to welcome you to Munch Kid Fame. All right, now let's get back to the game.
This was such a dumb performance. None of us coming in. None of us saw this coming.
But let me ask this question, though. Like, the way we ran, I mean, I thought the Bills' defense was one of their strengths.
It is.
They talked a lot about during the game that their defense, kind of like the Saints' O-line defense, is predicated on getting turnovers. They've gotten a lot of turnovers, but they haven't been able to stop anybody. And they wondered, you know, what would happen if a team came in and didn't turn the ball over. And, I mean, except for that one fumble, we didn't. I mean, it was total dominance. I'm looking at the total yards. We had 482 total yards. They had 198 total yards.
Seriously. Our defense kept them under 200. I mean, how nice is that?
Yeah.
And that's after giving up only 200 yards to Tampa last week.
Right.
It's fucking insane. It is that absolutely fucking insane what this defense is.
That we're in week 10, and we're talking about the Saints defense.
Yeah, we have a top 10 defense.
And we're not bitching about them.
Yeah. So, Gunn texted me during the game even, and I'll ask this question then, because it's in game recap, I guess. And he was talking about how big of an impact do you think the D-line coach Ryan Nielsen's had on the defensive improvement? New coach, new tactics, lots of batted balls. He's talking about that. And we saw Okafor batted at least one today.
Yeah, I think
we might have had three batted balls today.
I think we did, too. That's something we're doing new this year that we haven't done in the past.
So is it really what we've been preaching for the last 3 years on this show, that it really the problem in the defense wasn't the coordinator as much? It may be part of it, but or even the talent, but more the skill position coach.
Well, it's both. You know, last week we mentioned about CJ, and I knew with him coming back, we would start blocking our wide receivers, would block downfield again, because that's one of the things he, you know, emphasizes and preaches on.
Yeah, and they've, you know, in addition to the offensive line, they've assisted a lot of those runs to the outside.
We're talking about the coaches right here. Different position coaches preach different things, emphasize different things. That, you know, it's those little things that help you become successful like we are now.
Yeah, combination of the talent and also the better coaching to help the talent get better. I mean, look at, you know, when you factor in D-line coach, you got Nielsen, and then Nolan, the linebackers coach, and Aaron Glenn, the secondary coach. Those are some damn good assistant coaches.
Now, look, it helps that, you know, Marshawn Lattimore is just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, that helps too.
But even, I mean, look, today we played without Vaccaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just totally dominated.
You know, their receivers aren't great. And they did have Clay coming back after weeks off after an injury. But still, I mean, to not be missing one of your better guys, and the defense just completely dominated. I mean, what a game today by Rankins.
Yes.
And it was amazing. Even on the play or two before he had the pick, when they went back and showed the replay, he dropped the coverage. And I'm like, holy fuck, he's dropping in coverage.
Yeah,
and he dropped the coverage again on the pick. And then he ended up getting a sack a little while later.
And, you know, Okafor is so nice. We finally have someone to go with Jordan. And the last couple of games, I mean, what I feel like he's getting those hit right after the throws off, not late. That's what you do. It's football. And if you're a pansy and don't like it, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that roughing the passer call was bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to remember.
It was a little late, but it wasn't.
A little late, but it wasn't like
super egregious. And then, of course, Rondé Barber is like, oh, yeah, that's clearly way late. I mean, with the way they protect X today, I mean, I can see that. I mean, if somebody did that threes, I'm sure I'd be feeling like, hell yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was saying, Tyrod Taylor, 56 yards passing today.
Wow. And he did. Now, like, even though we didn't have a lot of sacks today, we got pressure a lot of times, and he just avoided it and had to weasel his way out, you know, scramble out of it. But
at
least it's not like he was able to scramble out and find a bunch of open receivers downfield, because for the most part, the receivers were covered all game. Yeah, secondary played great.
Yep. And I'm going to give props to Ken Crowley not getting a PI call today, right?
Yeah, maybe he can start his own non-penalty game streak. We're at one.
If we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
There were probably a few they could have called, but they didn't. So.
Oh, there's always a few they can call on him. All right, anything else about the game before we head out?
Yeah, Klein left the game with an injury. He left the game initially with a little foot thing. He came back, and then he left again, and I don't think he came back to the game later. So that'll be – hopefully it's nothing serious. That'll be an issue to monitor. But Tao came in, and Tao had a pretty decent game.
That's the similar part to 09. It's that next man up, right? No matter what injury occurs – on any phase of the game, the next man steps up. All right, I'm going to move us now into Look At Him tweets. And since we're recording on the game day, I'm going to read a few game day tweets that came through. This one from Paul Perret Nola, saying, or maybe it's Paul Perret.
Says, it's this Paul is... Perret. Jason and I went to high school with him.
Oh, you know that guy?
Hey, there you are!
Well, hi, do I know you?
No, but that's where you are. You're there. Hey!
The one that didn't know that as he messaged me and asked me, hey, was that you on the podcast? I was like, yeah. He's been listening to the show for years and didn't realize it was you, Jason. Well,
he just got vocal.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So he,
I don't think we've ever had a tweet from him.
No, he's just decided to talk, so I'll read his tweet now that his little gopher has stuck his head out of the hole. this
I don't think he's ever had a guy say that.
just picturing Caddyshack.
Right.
This is a complete team. There is not a single phase of the game that hasn't shown massive improvement over the last few seasons. What do y'all think has been most instrumental in the turnaround?
Well, again, I think we answered that. We said it's better talent evaluation and coaching changes.
All right, Scott.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Also, the emergence of the running game. You know, there were a lot of people before the season started that were hey, we should get rid of Ingram. You know, he's garbage and this and that. And
I remember those people.
I mean, he's been phenomenal. He was with a purpose today. He was phenomenal.
Jason,
if you're going to pick something else, I would go with the offensive line. There were some questions coming in. We picked Ramczyk. A lot of fans didn't understand why we picked him. But that line has really been instrumental in getting the run game going and giving Breeze all the time in the world to throw when he needs to. I mean, I think he's only been sacked 8 times this season, which is the fewest in the NFL. So, and that's with all of the shuffling that we've had to do with all the various little injuries that we've had.
And then
because remember, like Unger, we didn't even know if Unger was going to start the season. In addition to all the other issues. And Armstead. Armstead didn't start the season. So that's been pretty amazing what they've done.
All right. And then I'll add, and maybe a compliment to what you were saying about the Ramczyk thing, is Jeff Ireland. I mean, you think that our biggest problem over the many years is we couldn't build a team out of the draft. We couldn't build a team because we just kept whiffing. Ever since Jeff Ireland comes back, I mean, look at the last 2 years even, our draft classes and the impact that they're making on the team.
It is absolutely amazing.
And then I'll add salary cap, the fact that we don't have – we're not fighting against, we're counting pennies, something that, Damon, you've been beating the drum on more than the Carolina Panthers drum.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so next tweet comes from CJG. Along the same line, if it is, then we'll go past it, but I'll read it anyway. It says, have you ever seen a Saints team improve so much from game to game? The mistakes of the last game aren't committed, right? All right, go ahead.
Right, and I mean, isn't that what you want to do? Again, you don't want to be... like Kansas City be the September champions, They don't give trophies out for being champions in September. So
Falcons know that.
Right. Well, according to the Falcons, they don't give championships out any time of the year, but even with 16 minutes left in the Super Bowl and a 22-point lead.
All right, Nick NRG saying, I was the front man calling for Sean Payton's job last year.
So I'm eating that hump pie right now. My biggest criticism of him was he was only interested in winning his way offensively. 45 rushes, though? Shout out to Coach Payton. So, hey, you know, we talk about those fans who said and did and denied and all that thing. And here's an example of one of them who was an anti-whatever. We were calling for Sean Payton's job last year. How do you feel now?
Well, in addition to winning his way, he also finally stepped up and realized that he had to fire some of his longtime assistants. You know, he went through with it and did and sucked it up and did what he had to. That was part of it.
Yeah, you have to say. I mean, it. I don't know. It's a, like I said earlier. I mean, you know, this is more Jim Moore than Sean Payton. He's, you know, has he reinvented himself, or is this the offense he always wanted, just that he didn't have before? You know, before we had the high flying Reggie Bush and Drew Brees, and you know, remember he comes from the Parcells system, so. Strong defense and running the ball is that system. And did y'all watch last week? It's called NFL Mic'd Up, I think. And they, they featured the Saints and Sean Payton, and he was just on the sideline, like the Payton we remembered from 2009, jarring with the players, you know, showing emotion, getting fired up. I don't know, you know, had he lost that after 2012? You know, with that suspension?
Maybe that's part of the whole... You know, we talk about the locker room issues.
Well, the humbled? Right.
And maybe that's what it is, right? It's not just the locker room of players and players. It's players and coach. Where, you know, Jimmy Graham, great player. But if Sean Payton felt like, oh, God, I got to fucking deal with this guy every fucking week. You know what I mean? And so on and so on for whatever players and how that we have had to let go. And finally, yeah, maybe he does have a locker room where he's like, you know what? I like it. It is chemistry. It's chemistry. And it's not just player to player. It's coach to player.
You know, we all thought about it. Is Sean Payton's time over, the message stale? One thing you have to admit, and why you hold on to a Super Bowl winning coach like Sean Payton, is that he is a winner. You know, he does have it. He proved it already.
Mm-hmm.
You know. As a coach, he knows how to run an organization. Again, we take for granted, don't even realize what a head coach in the NFL has to do. He is scheduling. He has to make out a 365-day schedule of when they practice, when they do this. You know, everything, every day. You know, I mean, so a head coach isn't just an X's and O's job.
Absolutely. It's probably less to do with X and O's and more to do with the other.
You're right. In other cases where the head coach isn't the play caller, right, where the head coach isn't the signal caller like Payton is, Jeff, you're right. It's more being a CEO than it is a
tactician,
right,
or strategist, right,
play caller, yeah. And Sean Payton has it. He's one of the few who has it all. You know, he really does.
He does,
and. We're blessed to have him, Andrew Reeves.
Let's move into Pick'ems.
Incomplete because we're recording now and there's still two games going on right now. First game is going to be a really good game. The Los Angeles Rams currently sitting at 6-2 and currently playing right now, and they are losing to the Texans right now, 7-6 in the second quarter. Travel to Minnesota to play a 7-2 Vikings team. First place in the NFC North after going to Washington and beating the Redskins today. I mean, they put up 38 points today on the road in Washington.
Yeah. Keenum, I don't know. I think with Bridgewater coming back, that might put a little fire into Keenum's ass.
It looks like it. I mean, he played well. He Adam played Thielen, well. Adam Thielen continues to play well. It's crazy.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the spread?
So, a couple of division winners. This game is in Minnesota, and the Vikings are favored by 3.
Ooh.
The Vikings are favored by 3?
Yep. I mean, dude, they're 7-2.
Yeah?
Yeah, wow.
They're better than the Rams.
Vikings are good.
I almost want the Rams to win this.
Yes, we do, because since we lost to the Vikings, we want the Rams
to
win.
We do need that. So yes. Is this an emotional pick?
Yeah, maybe I could take the Vikings.
Because that way, always lose?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the Vikings.
He's going to curse them.
Yes, I'm trying to curse the Vikings.
I am also going to take Vikes.
Okay, Jeff, if you take the Vikings, every time we all agree, they definitely lose. Jeff, you have to take the Vikings.
Damon, it's easy for you to make a pick because there's no actual chance of you actually winning pick-ems, okay? I have a lead to protect.
Jeff, I am the current champion, so shut up.
Look at the scoreboard right now. Today, all right, you know,
I am the current champion.
Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009. How relevant is that?
Very, very much so.
Yeah, actually it is. I am going to go with the Rams on this one. Scott?
I'm going with the Rams as well.
All right, our next game. Philadelphia Eagles coming off a bye, travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys, who are currently beating the Falcons 7-3 in the second quarter. Philly looking strong. Number one seed in the NFC right now. This game is in Dallas, and Dallas is getting a point at home. And, of course, Ezekiel Elliott continues to be suspended. Missing the game today. This is 1 of 6.
How many is he getting?
Dallas is getting 1 at home.
All right. I'm going to take Philadelphia.
I will take Philly as well.
I'll take the Cowboys.
I am taking Philly.
We got the Bengals coming off a loss today against the Titans. Travel to Denver to play the Broncos, who are playing New England tonight.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. A couple of bad teams here. Denver.
Yeah, this ain't the game of the week.
Yeah. Surprisingly not, but it's close. Denver still doesn't have a quarterback. Don't know who's going to be playing. But they are favored by 2.5. I'll go first. Give me the Bungles.
You're taking the bait, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, just give me the points. Both teams are not good.
Give me Denver. I don't know why, but just give me Denver.
All right.
Yeah. I am going to bet against Brock Osweiler and take the Bengals.
I am taking Denver, home team.
All right. Altitude.
Yep.
Speaking of altitude, our next game will be in Mexico City.
So you have to do it.
Hola.
There's mountains in Mexico City, right?
Yes.
See.
Yeah, it's along the mountain, right?
See.
You've got the Patriots playing tonight, sitting there at 6-2. Travel to Mexico City to play the Raiders, who I believe are on a bye this week.
Who's the home team?
The Raiders.
Technically, it's the Raiders.
Okay.
Of course, and they are getting 6.
The Raiders are getting 6.
Raiders are getting 6.
I'm taking the Pats.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Pats too.
Yep, I'll take the Pats.
Make it a Mexico City 4-way. Going the Pats.
4 ways yes, to Mexico City.
Yep.
Yeah, guaranteed now, the Raiders Cup.
And our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a...
Even though they won today, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sitting there on 3-6, no Jameis Winston, Ronald Ryan Fitzpatrick. Travel to Miami to play the Dolphins, who are playing tomorrow night against the Panthers. I mean, this is the makeup of the Week 1 game that was supposed to be the Hurricane.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, I'll take the Dolphins, too, yeah. I changed my pick, yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to take the Dolphins as well.
I will take the Dolphins.
So now we got a Miami 4-way?
Yep.
A Mexican and Miami 4-way.
Si! Es cuatro.
That's a Hispanic theme.
Right? All right, that's going to lead us into... All right, and for those of you, if you didn't hear your ranking, it's because we didn't do rankings because we recorded on Sunday. So we'll do our rankings with both weeks combined. Make sure you get your pick-ems in on time. Those of you who are so far down the list, I'm sensing that you have quit playing because This week we've had a couple of people not tweet picks in. Shame on you. Shame.
They're kind of like they're like the Bills.
Shame. Shame. Right. So that's going to lead us into Saints preview.
Thank you. Thank you. Bear walked into a bar. Bear said to Deer, "May I please have a drink?" And so Deer said to Bear, "Why the big pause?" Many moons ago.
Where the Saints are taking on the Washington Redskins. Are you scared or not scared?
After today's performance, I am definitely not scared.
I'm not scared. The way we played today, hopefully they...
Yeah, I mean, y'all two do realize that we change opponents every week, you know. I mean, that one opponent isn't necessarily, you know, equal to the other. That one team might be better.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, but I'm not. Okay. I think the I'm not scared of Washington. I just hope that we don't... you know, fall into kind of any kind of overconfidence or lull or, over security. I don't know, you know. I'm sure Peyton will be preaching against that this week and not, them not getting comfortable and continuing to push. You know, because at this point, you're looking at, like we y'all had said before, you're looking at playoffs and possible home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a lot of people blowing smoke up their asses this week, a lot of the national media. I mean, after a performance like that, it's going to be hot, too. Gotta keep the team focused.
Washington, I'm actually looking forward to them blowing smoke up our ass. I'm looking forward to watching the replay shows this week and listening to the radio.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a good quarterback, good passing game. They got one of their linemen, Trent Williams, back this week. Jordan Reed, their tight end, didn't play this week.
You know, Cousins has been kind of up and down this year, and one of the things that I've heard is that if you pressure him, he folds. So I think that's something that if I've heard it, I'm sure the Saints have heard it. So I think they're going to be bringing the pressure this week and hopefully, you know, get Vaccaro back and hopefully Klein's not, you know, hurt and can play. And
I mean, we talked about it even going back to the Lions games. You know, I don't like when Dennis Allen tries to manufacture pressure. You know, you look what we did today. We rushed mainly 3 and 4, you know. We didn't, you know, we got to the quarterback twice. No, it's fine. Okay. I don't like this defense when we try to manufacture pressure. I'm trying to think what game that. Oh, against Chicago, again. How many times did we did against Chicago, which is a bad team? Rookie quarterback making his first start. And remember, we talked about this. We called 4 times on 3rd and long. Did that first time we got a sack. The other 3 times, we got they made a long 3rd down. So.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, too. And I definitely, you know, if we can get to him with 3 or 4-man rush, that'd be, you know, awesome. And we would have gotten, I think, to Tyrod Taylor a few times more today if, you know, at least sacks-wise, if he wasn't as mobile. And Cousins isn't as mobile, as Tyrod. And not as mobile as, you know, Green Bay's quarterback. So, you know, if we can get 3 or 4, you know, rush 3 or 4 guys and get pressure on them, absolutely.
And I wonder, too, if that means they'll – because today Kaká was a healthy and active. So I wonder if he'll be active next week to kind of assist in being able to get some pressure without having a blitz.
Yeah, that will tell you. We'll have to wait the game day to see if he's inactive or not, if he's active.
If Khan doesn't play, you know, he definitely could be active for that reason, too.
Right. You need extra spot.
Right.
Well, you said, Washington's one of those – middle of the road teams. You know, they're sitting at 4 and 5. I mean, they're a team that can beat you. I like their head coach. I like Gruden.
Yeah, he'll come up. So he's a good offensive coach. He'll come up with something.
Right. And like you said, Cousins, no, he's not an elite quarterback, but he plays well, and he can put up elite numbers.
Yeah, I mean, he's good enough. The only thing that worries me a little bit is now that they're 4 and 5, I mean, their season's on the line now. I mean, their backs are against the wall. You know, they need to win to have any kind of hope. So it'll be curious to see, because I listened to that DC show. So it'll be interesting to listen to how they did leading up to the game this week.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Vikings, but they put up 30 points.
Right.
Yeah, they did put up 30 against a good defense.
I don't know how much of a garbage time or whatever, but, you know, they definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Cousins threw for over 300. They didn't run the ball at all. They only ran for 81 yards.
And I think I read that Rob Kelly was out today. He started the game, but I think he got hurt.
Yeah, he did. I mean, they have Perine and Thompson, and Thompson also is a good back catching passes out the backfield.
Definitely, yeah.
So their defense, you know, isn't nothing to write home about. We just continue kind of what we've been doing. Run the ball, control the game. Hopefully no fucking turnovers this week.
Yeah.
At least we were even in the turnover margin today.
We said we had to be. Look, I mean, that's, you know, Sean Payton preaches this as long as he's been here. You have to secure the ball.
Every single
time. Let me ask you a question. This is kind of off topic, but kind of on topic. So what do you think the team right now would do against Minnesota or the Patriots, the first two opponents that we lost to earlier in the year, where we're sitting now, not then?
I don't know if we'd beat them or not, but I would definitely say we have to say the games would be a lot closer, especially the Patriots game where we got blown out. That would definitely be a game that we could win today. You know, Minnesota, I feel like we beat the Patriots. I'm still not confident enough to say we would definitely beat them. But Minnesota did not dominate us like the Patriots just spanked us.
I don't know. They kind of – Minnesota kind of – Sam Bradford kind of threw all over us. It was a pretty dominating game. But also, like, they had Dalvin Cook then. They don't have Dalvin Cook anymore. So that's a big loss. Even though, I mean, they are playing very well. I mean, they're a tough team.
I mean, I know I'm way, way – getting way ahead of myself. How much fun would it be to beat Minnesota again in the NFC Championship game and really piss their fans off?
They'd hate us so bad.
The question is, do you think that they would accuse us of another bounty?
Oh God, they try to. I mean, but how wonderful that'd be. I mean, you know, because they do hate us because of that game.
Yeah.
8 years later, and it would be fun to beat them again in the dome for the championship and go to the Super Bowl.
So getting back to the game, you know, another game back in the dome. I am going to go with 34-20 Saints win. Very comfortable. Double-digit win.
I'm going to go with the Saints win as well, but I'm going to go 38-6. We're going to shut them down on defense.
Wow.
Hold them to two field goals.
That would be something if we did something like that after doing the Buffalo today.
Ooh.
I mean, also, like, we could have put up a 50-burger because there's points we left on the table in the first half with that fumble.
Yeah.
This is a new Saints team. Even though we put up 47 points today, we didn't mean to. We weren't trying to, you know. Again, back in the day, I mean, we had these high scores because we had to because of our defense was lax. You know, or were suspect. So I'm going to go 35-17. I think that we're going to have a comfortable lead, and Sean Payton will be very content to run the ball. And, you know, we're eating the clock up is more important than actual points on the scoreboard. I mean, not the 35 points is anything to sneeze at. That's a good NFL outing for 35 points.
I'm going to go 47-6.
Dude, jeez.
This defense is not going to let up a touchdown next week. You can love your Redskins as much as you want, Damon, but the Kirk Cousins is not getting a touchdown. Not on this defense. So, check in on the bold predictions. Damon, you wanted to do that. So, Jeff, my prediction was that Ingram would rush for 900 yards this year.
That's happening.
Yeah, seems to be on his way to doing that.
Damon, you said that Saints D would get 60 sacks. I don't know where we stand right now.
I don't think we're getting 60, but I think we're on pace for about 40.
All right.
Which would be in the top 10, I think.
Then, Jason, you said Brandon Coleman would get 800 receiving yards.
That's probably not going to happen, but...
I said the Saints would be in the top 10 overall.
In what, defense?
Yeah.
It's looking like it.
Could happen. Damon said Drew Brees would pass Peyton Manning as the all-time passing yards leader with 58-29. I don't know. The way the running game's going.
Yeah.
It might take him 3 years to get
there. Yeah. It's going to definitely take him 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said Saints D would shut out three teams this year. So far, I've only got one. Jason, you said Fleener would get 50 catches this year. You want to adjust that to 5? I'll give you a reason to adjust.
Yeah. He's not getting 30. Yeah. So.
Don't forget, these are bowl prices that were sure to go wrong. Damon, you said that Adrian wrong. You said Adrian Peterson would get 1,200 rushing yards.
He wasn't. I didn't say with who. Oh, he's Mike. He's kicking ass.
That's true.
I didn't say with who. He's running for 150 yards a game.
Jason says Cam Jordan gets 16 sacks or 15 plus 15 sacks. So yeah. I said that Lattimore would get 8 picks on the year. And then Damon, you said Lattimore would win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think you might actually have something on that one.
That one, yeah. That one might be that one might come true.
And Jason, so. Your last one was that Will Lutz would be a top 5 fantasy kicker. Not today, because he missed a fucking extra point.
But he made a 50
yard field goal.
That's 5 points right there, plus all of his extra points.
He made up. Alright, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Bill's Mafia donkeys.
Dilly dilly.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Go marching, go marching. Oh,